Assalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So we are inshallah starting the fifth section of Surah Al-Baqarah. And as you remember that in the first section Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the Qur'an and those who will benefit from the Qur'an and those who will not benefit from the Qur'an and among them the disbelievers and the hypocrites. And then after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited the whole humanity. And Ya Yuhannas, O people, worship your Lord. And then reasons were given for that. That is, in believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then then we also had the story of the creation of the human being. Last time we discussed that. How the human being was created and honor of the human being. The angels were asked to bow down to the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them knowledge. Allama Adam al-asma kullaha. All of this mentioned. After that, we are coming now to a history. History of the divine message. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to people and invited them to Allah. And one of the prominent group of people to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophet after prophet are Bani Israel. So, Bani Israel's history is briefly mentioned here in several sections now. Bani Israel, why they are mentioned here? Why the Quran speaks about them? Well, the Quranic message is for all people. It's not only for Arabs. So, it is for all humanity. Ya Yunus, O people. So, they are among the people. That's why they were invited for that. Secondly, this surah was revealed in Medina. And the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Mecca to Medina. And in Medina, there were people who were Arabs. Various tribes of Arabs were living in Medina, as well as several tribes of Jews were living in Medina. Some Jewish tribes were living in Medina for a long time. And when the Prophet came to Medina, he made a special agreement called Misaq, which is, you may call it, a constitution of the city of Medina. And the covenant of Medina was made. And in this covenant, Jewish people were included. That Jews, Arabs, Muslims, non-Muslims, all of them are going to live in peace and harmony with each other. And defend the city. And they will recognize that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the leader. He is the one. If there is any dispute, they will bring it to him. And they will not do anything without consulting with him, without taking his position. So that was the agreement that was made in the Misaq al-Madinah. But then after that, some of them started misbehaving. So a reminder is given to them. Reminder that don't do that as you did in the past with your own prophets. Now with this prophet. So Quran is speaking to them, inviting the people who are there in Medina. So inviting them. It's not like some other people far away and the Quran is speaking. This is the context in which the Quran was revealed. They are there. Arabs are there. Muslims are there. Non-Muslims are there. Jewish people are there. So inviting them. And another reason why Quran speaks to them and speaks about them is because they were known among the Arabs as people of scripture. The people who had a book and they were reading books. So Arabs were generally, they were, unlettered people. They did not know how to read and write. They did not have any books. But the Jewish people had some books with them. And they used to recite them and read them. So they were impressed by them. That these people have books and they recite to them. Although they were reciting in their own language, they were not reciting in Arabic. There was no Arabic translation of the Bible. But still, they were reading them in some foreign language and impressing them. Like any uneducated people, somebody reads a book, big book, and it takes out and starts reading. Oh, you will be impressed. Oh, they are very educated people. So the Quran addressed them because they were affecting the people. So if these people will accept Islam, it will affect other people as well. If they accept the message of the Prophet, if they recognize the Prophet, it will help spreading the message towards other people as well. So these are some of the reasons why they are addressed in the Quran several times. And some of this history is mentioned. The Quran mentioned that. And so let us look into this ayah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فاتقون ولا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل وتكتموا الحق وأنتم تعلمون. O children of Israel, remember my favor which I bestowed on you and fulfill your covenant with me as I fulfill my covenant with you and fear none but me. Believe in what I have revealed, confirming that which is with you, and be not the first to reject faith in it. And do not sell my signs for a paltry price, and be conscious of me. Cover not truth with falsehood, nor conceal the truth while you know it. So, Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed them sometime as Ya Ayyuhal Ladina Hadu, O you who call yourself Jews, and sometime Ya Bani Israel, sometime Ya Ahlul Kitab, O people of the book. So people of the book, or people who are known as Bani Israel. Bani Israel, Bani is the plural of Bi'ibn, that means children. Sons, huh? It's not only sons, only daughters as well. So Bani is used for the children. So Bani Israel, children of Israel. Who is Israel? Yaqub alayhi salam. This is one of his titles mentioned in the Quran also in Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says كل الطعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه من قبل أن تنزل التوراة. Every food was allowed except what Israel made it forbidden upon himself. So Israel is mentioned for Yaqub alayhi salam. All zuriyat man hamalna ma'anu, that is أولئك الذين أنعم الله عليهم من زرية آدم ممن حملنا معانو ومن زرية إبراهيم وإسماعيل ومن زرية إبراهيم وإسرائيل. The Surah Al-Kahf, Allah Ta'ala mentioned that. So children of Israel. Israel, Yaqub alayhi salam, had 12 sons, and from these 12 sons came the 12 tribes, and these tribes are known as children of Israel. So it's a very honorable name that Allah Ta'ala has given them. Oh, you who are the children of a great prophet, who was the son of Ishaq alayhi salam and the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So it's an honorable title. The most honorable title that you can give to any people is that title that is given here in the Quran for them. Why Israel? What is the meaning of the word Israel? So, Israel is from two words, Yesra and El. So El is the word that is used for God. And Yesra has a different meaning. The Bible gives a reason for the name. Israel is the title of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam in Surah An-Nisa and Surah Al-Kahf, we mentioned that. Meaning of Israel. According to the Bible, book of Genesis, chapter 32, 24-30, there is a story mentioned here. And the one who strives with God, the one who fights with God, strives, contends with God. And the story is given here. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Jacob, Yaqub alayhi salam, is mentioned in the Bible as a liar and a cheater, a deceiver. So he goes to his father, Ishaq alayhi salam, and his father was blinded. He could not see, and he pretend that he was Jacob. So he pretended, and although he was, he was Esau. And then he, by deceiving, he took blessing from him, and he appointed him as his successor. So he was going through all that, and then he had this encounter with God. They say it was with God. So Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not, man means that God appeared in the form of man. And some people say that means an angel. So an angel came to the form of a man. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, that means he could not defeat Jacob, he touched his hollow, the hollow of his thigh. And Jacob's thigh was put out of joint. And he wrestled with him. So he displaced his hip. And he was, he lost, he had a problem. Then he said, "Let me go." So this angel or this, or God in person, he said to Jacob, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." So the whole night they had wrestling. And Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." So he wanted to receive blessing from him because he was had this this experience. And he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall be no more, you shall not call Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Tell me, I pray, your name." But he said, "What is that that you ask my name?" And then he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "Therefore I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." So this is basically the story, some in the Bible, in the book of Genesis.
Yeah, but is it, we cannot, like,
I'm just mentioning you what is the, what is the, how is it said. The Jewish people, the scholars, Jewish scholars say that this shows that Jewish people, they do not just submit to God. They are actually wrestles. They struggle with God. So they don't take everything just like you say command and you just submit. But we dialogue with God. We are the people of contention. We contend with God. That's what some of them say. Some of them they say, "This is a mysterious encounter. We don't know the real meaning of it, but this is what happened." So you have different interpretations of that. The Quran used that name, and it's used it for honor, for respect. So our Muslim scholars say that Quran will not use the word Israel if that is the meaning of the word Israel. Because that's not a very praiseworthy thing. So some other Muslim scholars say, no, Israel means the servant of God, Abdullah. So they say there is a meaning in the Hebrew language for Yasr means to serve Allah. So if most probably the meaning of Israel is the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Quran has used that and honored it and said this is the name of a prophet of God. So, you know, if there is a name does not have a good meaning, you have to change it. So Prophet's name is that most probably that is what according to Islamic interpretation that Israel means the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were great servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among them. And children of Israel as well as Israel himself, he was a great servant of Allah. So we do not accept everything that is mentioned, as our sister mentioned. We do not accept, although we honor the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, we believe in them, but we do not accept every story. We do not say everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are things that they added, there are things that are part of their mythology, part of their various stories. So you don't have to take everything like the word of God. So that's how, but still, the name is important. And as I mentioned, that this is an honorable name, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned with honor. Ya Bani Israel is a respectful way of speaking. The Quran has not spoke to them in a disrespectful way. Even though criticize them, even though it speaks to them and remind them that you should follow the teachings of your prophets and teachings of Prophet Muhammad, but always address them in a respectful and honorable way. So let's go back to this thing. Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, Uzkuru, remember my favor, my blessings, which I gave you. Ni'mati an'amtu alaykum. That means all the good things that you have in your history, it is my favor. It is not because of you, it is not because of your family, it is not because of your achievement. I did that to you. I gave you these favors. Uskuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum. So when you have ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are blessings, don't say I have it because of my knowledge or because of my family or because of my own effort. Always be thankful to Allah. Remember my favors that I gave you. And I gave you many favors. So, ni'mati and amtu alaykum double. My favor that I did favor. Wa'ufu bi'ahdi, ufi bi'ahdikum. And fulfill the agreement that you made with me. I will fulfill the agreement I made with you. That means this is mutual. If you believe in Allah, Allah will give you. Allah will bless you. Reward you here in this world and the hereafter. So it is the faith is a covenant. Faith is an agreement. Ahdi, my promise, ofu bi ahdi, and fulfill the covenant with me. The covenant that you made with me. Covenant means agreement. The pledge that you made with me. And I fulfill my covenant with you. So it is both conditional. At the same time, I'm doing it already. I have given you a lot of favors. So why you forget the favor that I have done to you? So, أوفو بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم. Some scholars say, أهدي here means that Musa alayhi salam told them that there will be a prophet that is going to come. As mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy. That God will raise a prophet among you like me. And you shall believe in him. So say, this is a reminder about that. That Allah has made a pledge with them that you will believe, those of you who will see the prophet who is going to come after Musa alayhi salam, you should believe in him. So some people say that is the meaning of that. Either you take it a general meaning, ahad is your faith, your iman, or you take it in that particular sense. Ofu bi ahdi, ufi bi ahdikum. I gave you honor, I gave you, you are the great people, and this greatness will remain with you as long as you fulfill the promise. Ufi bi ahdikum. Wa iyaya farhabun. Wa iyaya farhabun. Rahab means to fear, to tremble, to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fear none but me. Why you say fear none but me? Because you see, farhabune, that is fear me. But then added further, iyaya. When just like iyaka na'budu, wa iyaka nasta'in. So instead of saying na'buduka wa nasta'inuka, say iyaka na'budu. Iyaka nasta'in. So iya, because ka cannot stand by itself, that's why you have to add iya. But this is for the emphasis. In Arabic language, if you add something, you bring something in it from its place to before it, that means you are giving emphasis to me you worship. You only we worship. And your help we seek. So here is saying, Ya ya farhabun. And actually it's double. Ya here and noon has a kasra. That means farhabuni. So ya ya farhabun, that means you, me and only me you should fear. Fear nobody except me. Ya ya farhabun. So ya here indicating that there is a great emphasis. That if you really fear anyone, fear me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have the rahba, have the honor and reverence and respect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that say, believe in what I have revealed. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ. What is that bima anzalt? Believe in that which I have revealed. Quran. That is the Quran. So I have revealed the Quran, and the Quran is with you. I'm giving you the message of the Quran. So believe in that. Aminu bima anzalt. And another thing is said, musaddiqa lima ma'akum. Confirming that which is with you. Which is Torah. You have Torah, but the Quran is confirming the Torah. And musaddiq. Why it is Quran is confirming the Torah? There are several meanings of that. You can take that. Confirming because its message is similar to the message of the Torah. Basic message of the Quran, the message of Torah is the same. But there is another meaning. The Torah speaks about coming of Prophet Muhammad. And coming of the Prophet Muhammad is confirming the Torah. Yeah. The Torah said that there will be a prophet who is going to come. And now he came. That means he confirmed what was there. So this book, Quran, is confirming the message of the Torah, confirming the predictions of the Torah, confirming the prophecies of the Torah. Musaddiqa lima ma'akum. So whatever is there, it is giving, confirming that which you have. Wala takunu awwala kafirin bih. And be not the first to reject faith in it. And you are supposed to really be the first to accept it. But do not be among the people who are rejecting the faith. Awwala kafirin bih, that means out of all the people, you are expected to accept it. Out of all the people, you are supposed to support it. Support Prophet Muhammad. Support the message of Allah. So it, in a sense, is encouraging them. You, goodness, like you, somebody say to his son, my son, you are not the one who deny me, or who do this and that to me. So in a similar way, وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ. And so be not like those among the first who reject that. That doesn't mean that second, you can be second, but not the first. That's the meaning of it. وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ. And be not the first to reject faith. So it is not like saying, okay, next time it's okay, but not the first time. So this is a way of speaking and encouraging them. And do not sell my signs for a paltry price. And that means do not exchange my words for worldly gains. Because any gain that you get in this world is very small in comparison to the word of God. So do not give up that because of your position or because of your money or because of your family and because of all of these things. Do not give up. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ سَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. So this is the expression the Quran has used in many places. Meaning is this, do not give up the word of God, the message of God, with little gains of this world. That doesn't mean that if you have big gain, you can do that. لَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ سَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Doesn't mean that if you have big saman, yeah, you can do that. لَا. This is أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. The meaning is, whatever gain you will get is very small. If somebody gives you the whole world, it is nothing in comparison to the word of Allah. So do not give up my word for something that is worldly. وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ. You have إِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ. And now you say, وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ. And it is you and you, me, of me that you become conscious. Be conscious. Have taqwa of me. Taqwa, as we know, we mentioned that the fear of Allah, consciousness of Allah, obedience to Allah, all of these things are there. Iyaya fattaqoon. And again, you have iyaya first, and then ittaqune. That means ittaquni. Iyaya fattaqoon. Because it is the end, that's why you don't have ya. Otherwise, it should be fattaquni. So ya is dropped because of the ending. So iyaya fattaqoon. And then it says, cover not the truth with falsehood. وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. This is basically for the leaders, because the leaders were doing that. They were trying to confuse people. Truth and false were trying to confuse with each other. He said, do not do that. Labasa yalbisu means to put down your dress. Dress up the falsehood as truth, or truth as falsehood, something like that. So it's like mixing up. So do not mix up, do not cover up the falsehood, the truth with falsehood. وَلَا تَكْتُ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقِّ. Both the people do that. Sometimes they change the meaning with their interpretation. Good meaning, good words, they make them into bad words by misinterpretation. And sometimes they don't tell you the truth. Sometimes, that's why the witness is called and says, say the truth and nothing but the truth and all the truth. So sometimes they don't say the truth. And sometimes they try to mix up the truth with falsehood. So truth, all the truth and nothing but the truth. Don't mix up, don't add anything into the in the truth to make it look bad. So تَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ. So this, both of them are the same thing. تَلْبِسُ وَتَكْتُمُ. That means وَلَا تَلْبِسُ وَلَا تَكْتُمُ. Do not do that and do not hide the truth with falsehood. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Knowingly. And if somebody does it by forgetfulness, unintentionally, that's a different case. But you know it, you understand it. It is you, it is the Prophet, and his message is very similar to the message that was given to you before. So you know the message, and knowingly you are denying it. مَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So here you have, we mentioned that already. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, saved you from the slavery in Egypt, that is coming up after that. Allah's favor to Bani Israel, what are their favors? Yeah, an'amtu alaykum. Allah says, Ya Bani Israel, askuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum. So ni'ma is that he saved you from slavery in Egypt, provide for them food during their exodus. When they left Egypt, gave them manna and salwa, sent many prophets among them. وَجَعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَاءَ وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكَ. Many prophets came among them and united them with great rulers such as Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam. And وَأُوفُوا بِعَهْدِي. My pledge, ahd, is also the word misaq is used for that. Allah did aforetime take a covenant, misaq. Allah said in the Quran, that is, you have that. That is, appointed 12 captains among them, and Allah said, I am with you if you establish regular prayer, practice regular charity, believe in my messenger, honor and assist them, and loan to Allah a beautiful loan. Verily, I will wipe out from you your evils, and admit you to gardens with rivers flowing beneath. But if you, if any of you after this resist faith, he truly wandered from the right path. In the Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5, verse number 12, you have that. So this mithaq is mentioned in the Quran. Ahad is mutual. Ofu bi ahdi, ufi bi ahdikum. You do something, and I will do something. Huh? You believe in Allah, and Allah will love you. You obey Allah, Allah will bless you. So this is a mutual relationship between the human and the divine. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. And be steadfast in prayer. Practice regular charity and bow down your heads with those who bow down in worship. Do not order people to do virtue while forgetting it yourself. And yet you recite the scripture. Will you not use your reason? Nay, seek help through patience and prayer. It is indeed hard except to those who are humble. Those who bear in mind that they are to meet their Lord and that they are to return to Him. So some more commands they are reminded. First of all, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Pray and give charity. As you mentioned before, that Salat and Zakat actually summarize the whole deen. Salat is your relation with Allah. Zakat is your relations with other people. So, obey Allah and be good to the people. Be charitable, kind, good, all this. Zakat in the early period of Islam meant charity in general. Later, sadaqah was used for regular charity. Zakat was for specific charity. Zakat is 2.5% for those who have the nisab. And charity is voluntary charity, giving whatever. But in the beginning, sadaqah and zakat were used interchangeably. Zakat was not specified, the rules of zakat did not come. So you have it. Aqimus salat wa atu zakat. What kind of zakat they used to have, Bani Israel? A general charity. It's not like our zakat, they were told. This is Rasulullah gave us. This is Sharia of Islam. But before that, they were told to give. Sometimes they were mentioned to give 10%, which is called tithing. And there are references to that in the Bible. So, aqimus salat, what kind of salat? Prayer that they had. Not specifically rak'ah, 5 prayers every day, and all the 2 rak'ah in Fajr prayer. And 4. It's not details. But generally, it's prayer. So, every prophet was telling his people to pray. That is, they used to remind the people. Ismail alayhi salam, before that, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, they used to tell their family, pray and give charity. So, aqimu salata wa atu zakah. Warka'u ma'ar raki'in, and bow down with those who bow down. And interpretation of that is that they were told to do the prayers in jama'ah, congregational prayer. That you should do that. Why congregational prayer? Because individual, when they pray, they might think that I'm good and I'm this and that. Now come down with the people. Be with the people. Some poor people, some people from high family, low family, whatever. Stand together. So this creates humbleness. This creates unity and harmony. So pray with those who pray. And why ruku' is mentioned specifically? Why did not say qumu? Quran mentioned that sometimes, qumu also. Sometimes Quran mentions sujood. But ruku' is a very specific thing. There is only one ruku' in your each rak'ah. And ruku' is the humbleness, and so it's a very important part of salat. That's why if you miss ruku', your prayer is not valid. It's one of the arkan of the salat. Warka'u ma'ar raki'in. So Quran mentioned specifically that, but especially coming together with people. So prayer together, prayer in congregation. And then Allah SWT says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْصَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You order people to do good, to do virtue, but you forget yourselves. This is most probably addressed to the leaders, to their imams, to their scholars. Because they used to tell people, do this, but they were not doing it themselves. So if somebody tells other people to do something, he should be also practicing it himself. What is that? That you tell other people to be good, you tell other people pray, but you don't pray. You tell other people to do right thing, and you don't do right thing. Say, do halal things and do it haram things yourself. تَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You forget yourself. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ and you read the book. And while you read the book, and you're reciting the Quran, you're reciting the Torah, and you are explaining it to the people, but you yourself, you don't eat. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. What kind of mind is this? What kind of reason is that? That is, يعني, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّجُلُ الْمُعَلِّمُ غَيْرَهُ هَلَّا لِنَفْسِكَ كَانَ تَعْلِيمُ. Oh, the person who is teaching somebody, the greatest, you know, great poet, Abul Asad al-Duali, who was the one who is known as the one who made the grammar of Arabic language, he said it in one of the beautiful couplets. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّجُلُ الْمُعَلِّمُ غَيْرَهُ هَلَّا لِنَفْسِكَ كَانَ تَعْلِيمُ. Oh, person, oh, teacher who is teaching others, what about you? You don't learn yourself. You are telling people to take the medicine, but you are yourself sick, and you have not used it about yourself. So he said, first of all, correct yourself. Improve yourself. And then your words are going to make effect upon other people. So, أَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you have aql? What kind of reasoning is this? And then again, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said, "Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah." So you have aqimu as-salah, and then again say, "Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah," and seek help with sabr and salat. Sabr means patience. Now, patience in Arabic language is not something that shows that you are timid. You are saying that like a patient, like a sick person. No, the patience here means be strong, be firm, be steadfast. So sabr here in that sense. The patience in the Arabic language, I mean, there is a meaning of that, that you have to be patient when you are sick. But we use, in English language, we use the word patient, somebody who is sick. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling that become sick people, become like sick people. Allah, be strong people, be steadfast, firm in your principles. Wasta'inu bis sabr. And salah. And what will help you to be patient is salat. So salat helps people to, and salat regularly. When you pay regular salat, you learn how to become patient, how to become steadfast, how to become firm on your principle. So salat helps that. Istainu bis sabri was salah. And then Allah says, wa innaha lakabiratun illa ala al-khashi'in. And then he says, salat, yes, it is hard. It is hard to pray regularly. It is hard to observe the salat as it should be done in the right way. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِينَ. Except those who are humble. If your heart is humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you really recognize that Allah is your Lord, and things, then salat is not hard. Otherwise it will be hard. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِينَ. So sabr is mentioned. But then after salat, and for salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. Some people say, no, as-sabr and salat, both of them are hard. Some people say, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention about sabr? Because sabr is also hard. He says, sabr, everybody knows it's hard. But salat, many people don't. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes, salat, regular salat, observing the regular salat is also hard. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who bear in mind that they are to meet their Lord and they are to return to Him. يَظُنُّونَ has two meanings. One of the meaning is those who think. Zan is thinking. But zan is suspicion also. But then also means something that you have not seen by your eyes, but you believe. So those you have in their mind that yes, it's going to happen, that the day of judgment is going to come, because nobody has seen the day of judgment. So they have this, they realize that the day of judgment is going to come. So they have this in their mind, their assurance of that أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ, that they are going to meet their Lord. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and they shall return to Him. So returning ultimately to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here you can see that salat and zakat and the jama'ah prayer and then also telling the people the good things but at the same time following them and then reminding again how it's going to, what it gives you the strength, how you are going to do that, if you observe that. So you have 10 commands that are given to Bani Israel that are mentioned here. Remember Allah's favor and blessings. Fulfill the covenant. Fear none except Allah. Believe in this message. It comes from the message that you have been from previous prophets. And do not give it up for cheap gains. And have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Do not confuse the truth with falsehood or conceal the truth knowingly. Pray and give charity and be humble. And do not preach to others and forget yourself. And then finally seek Allah's help through prayer and patience. So you see that in a very beautiful way, in a very short words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving what was their message that was given to Musa alayhi salam in the Torah. So you have 10 commandments. It's not referring to those 10 commandments. Those 10 commandments have a different thing. Although most, some of the things are there also. But what you have is that this is the message that in general, including the 10 commandments that was given to them. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them about the message that was there. And this prophet is giving you the same message. This prophet is also coming from the same point. So this is what you have it in this first ruku, and then again we'll have continuation of that. So what we did, we mentioned that the reminder to Bani Israel, and actually it's not just Bani Israel, it's a reminder to all of us, because the message is the same. One cannot say this is for Bani Israel, not for me. No, Muslims are same thing. Likewise, you say the same thing. That you should not be, as Muslim, you should not be the first one to disobey Allah. You, Muslim, should not be the first one to disobey the Quran. I mean, you claim that you believe in Allah. You claim that you believe in the Quran. You claim that you believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you should not be that people. So the same thing. So its message is for everybody. But here is the mention historically. And because the context is there, because the Prophet was in Medina. If the Prophet was not in Medina, probably would have been some other people would have been addressed. As somebody said, if the Prophet had gone to south, to Yemen, probably the most of the discussion would have been about Christians. But the Prophet was there. Prophet was in Medina. He has to speak to the people. So you have to speak to the people among you are and address the message to them and address to them in a beautiful manner. Remind them about their history, about their part, about the past and take good point from there. So address to Bani Israel and reminder to Bani Israel and to others in general. You see that all of these points, they are not specific to Bani Israel. These rules are not, this is the general rules for all people. And then after that, yeah, so we have this point. And as I mentioned, that what is our understanding of the definition or the origin of the word Israel. You understand that this is the title of Yaqub alayhi salam, but the title of Yaqub alayhi salam because he is the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the one who contends with Allah. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. Any questions? Yeah, some of them they were.
Why they want to do such thing, bad thing, and conceal this?
Concealing could be in the sense that because they were not doing it, so they will not tell the people to do that. Or concealing in the sense that they knew that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, but they are not telling the people. And the Quran mentioned that.
But they are not accepting.
That don't tell these Ummiyin. About this thing, that is mentioned also.
This sort of politics.
Politics, yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes people do not say the truth. They know it, but they do not say it. Or say half the truth. Not all of it. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes.
Prayer.
Yes, for sure, it's very important prayer.
So here the meaning, is it like humble?
Yeah, ruku is, I mean, physical ruku, but physical ruku is for what? That means there must be khushu in the heart. If the khushu in the heart is, then you will see that Rasulullah saw somebody praying, but he was playing with his clothes, playing with his hair and all this, hair doing that, scratching. And he said, لَوْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُهُ لَخَشَعَ الْجَوَارِهُ. If his heart was humble, his body would have been humble too. So humbleness of the body should reflect the humbleness of the heart. But it's not only body humbleness. The body humbleness is, yes, is very important, but actually the real thing is the qalb should be hard. So one should have both. One should have command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you make ruku. But why this ruku? This ruku is to be humble. Because abiding before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you realize that is, كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. You pray in such a way as if you are seeing Allah. Even though you see Him not, but He sees you. So if you have that feeling that Allah is watching me and I'm in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have your prayer, beautiful prayer, and that's the ihsan in the prayer. Well, if the fard is missed in the prayer, then you have to repeat the prayer. Fard. If it is wajib that is missed, then you make it up. You can make it up with sajda sahu. For example, if you you prayed three rak'ah and made salam, and then you realize, no, it's only prayed three rak'ah, then you make up with one rak'ah and then make sajda sahu. You can make it up with that. Just one rak'ah, stand up and then you pray that. Or if you realize that you really prayed five, not four, but five rak'ah, then you can add one more rak'ah. So two of them will become nafl, and your four are the fard, and then make sajda sahu. But if you, for example, you are there in the second rak'ah, you did not say tashahud, and you stood up, as soon as you realize that before going into sajda, you can sit down and make your tashahud and make sajda sahu. Sajda sahu is done only when you miss something that is wajib, that is something that is required in the salat. If you don't say in your ruku' Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, then you make sajda sahu. If you don't say in your sujood Subhan Rabbi al-Ala, you make sajda sahu.
See that? What if you're not sure? What if you think, but you're not sure?
If you are not sure, then do that which is the minimum. Suppose you say, I don't know whether I pray 3 rak'ah or 4 rak'ah. Consider 3 and pray another rak'ah and make sajda sahu. Yeah, so that's what you do then. Okay.
You told us the story of a person who was praying. People passed by. Somebody passed by, they said, well, nice person, he is always praying. The person said, I'm fasting too.
that's very, very sad. Eh? That's show off. When people do that, for show off. Yeah, I hope this is just a joke, not somebody did it really. Yeah. Because if he did that, then he lost his salat too. Because he spoke in his salat. Yeah.
But so.
Yeah. If somebody, for example, is praying and, but we were just praying, but somebody came, and when he saw somebody, then he became more humble and became more conscious of his salah. That should not be the way. It should be for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of showing up. May Allah save us from that. Okay. Barakallahu feekum. Next week, I will not be here, so I will not have a class. But inshallah, the week after that, barakallah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك.